Done.
Thank you. We can resume, Tom.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021 virtual Zoom City Commission meeting. This meeting is being conducted remotely, where all members of the City Commission and staff are in separate locations and not at City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I'd like to go over some housekeeping items. This afternoon's meeting is being recorded. Those tuning in will notice that all the participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted and video has been disabled. With this said, we will allow you, the participants, an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there's a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that box, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your questions or give input. During this time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any back noise such as TVs, radios, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussions, please call 582-0336 at any time during the meeting, and an executive assistant, Barb Brooks, will be happy to assist you with the process. I'd like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through this afternoon's meeting agenda. With that being said, I would like to call a meeting to order, and please let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call, please.
Conklin.
Present remotely from Boyne City, Michigan.
Brunch.
Here. Participating from home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Newcomer.
Present, participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Page.
Present, participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Solomon.
Present, participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Form present.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have five items. A, approval of the March 9th City Commission regular meeting draft minutes as presented. B, approval of the March 11th City Commission work session draft minutes as presented. Item C, approve the recommendation for the attached resolution to decertify Balsam Place from the local street network and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Item D, approve the recommendation of the official name of the non-motorized pathway between the city of Boyne City and the village of Boyne Falls as the Boyne Valley Trailway. And E, approved the recommendation of Steve Schnell, Charlevoix County Housing Ready Program Director, that the City of Boyne City adopts the Homes for Our Future campaign resolution, supporting efforts to create new housing options for local communities. Is there any comments from the public and or from fellow commissioners?
I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Hugh, second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Brunch.
Aye.
Meehammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to, there we go. Moving on to citizens' comments on non-agenda items. These would be anything that's not an agenda item, and there's a 5-minute limit. And please address or state your name and address. Not seeing anybody.
I'm not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Okay. Let's move on to correspondence. In our packets for commissioners and part of public documents is a correspondence from Cindy Banner received March 9th, 2021. We have correspondence from Jacqueline Swift received March 9th, 2021. And we have correspondence from Jacqueline Swift received March 11th, 2021. At this time, I would open it up to public comments on the correspondence item, and then I will go to commissioners. I don't see any hands.
We have one hand.
Yes, you have the floor, 5 minutes. Please state your name and address. I think it's Tim. Tim, are you with us?
Hi, commissioners. I was just doing the Zoom on my iPad. I didn't mean to raise the hand. I'm having issues driving right now, so.
We're getting a lot of feedback, but if I understood you right, you don't have a comment at this point.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, I'll turn it over to commissioners on the topic of correspondence. Any comments? Okay, thank you. Let's move on to item 6, city manager's report. Mike?
Thank you, Mayor. I think I'm unmuted now. A few items to report for you today. With the warmer weather that has arrived since our last meeting, the limited run of advisory where we had people run water at their homes to prevent water freeze-ups has ended. We had about 27 homes that were running water, and that is greatly reduced from what it was in years past. As far as I'm aware of, we did not have any water freeze-ups either on the service lines or any mains with regards to over the winter season. And hopefully we're beyond it. The Rivermouth restroom demolition is proceeding well in preparation of the reconstruction phase of the project. Building permit application is in review by the Charleroi County Building Department, and C2AE is working on design components for their work in the fall with regard to the brick portion, the pump house portion of that building in the fall. Broken dock and compensator at the marina has been rebuilt by our DPW staff, and I believe it was installed a little bit earlier this week. Ground penetrating radar of the North Lake Street Bridge appears to have confirmed that the majority of the damage due to the erosion is on the west face of the bridge armor, stone, and sidewalk. So actually it's less undermining of the bridge than we originally thought. So the roadway itself seems pretty good, and so, as does the east sidewalk as well. They'll be looking at, based on that information, on plans for repairs in the future. As you may have seen around town, our DPW crews were busy sweeping our main trailways last week to get them ready for all the people that have been out and walking about. Mike and Cody of our DPW team have been working on the trailhead at the airport, that restroom conversion project over the past weeks. So we're looking to get that open sometime this spring or early summer. The street sweeper has also been put back on the road for the season and was given its initial test out for the season last Thursday. Prior to last weekend, we were able to reopen our tennis and pickleball courts at Rotary Park for the season. With a pickleball court, that's obviously something we've been working towards for a couple of years. Those are both opened on Friday. Let's see, the DPW also was involved in the cleanup of tires that were dumped by the dog park at the North Point area. Those have been accumulating over a long time, and they got a whole dumpster full of those out of there, and they're continuing efforts to clean up that site. Tim has been working and busy with regards to getting bid documents completed and advertised for our pavement marking program, our crack seal program, and our gravel road dust control program. And all those bids are due back on April 7th, and it'll be coming to an upcoming city commission meeting. The Public Works Department is getting pricing for our city clerk treasurer, Caroline Kennedy, on fertilizing the maple lawn grounds for this coming season. And the DPW crews have been out blading our gravel roads to fill the potholes and get them smoother. So that should be for smoother driving on those roads. Just in time for spring, our in-season road salt delivery took place yesterday. Also, and this is a requirement of us ordering through the state's purchasing program, Tim has also submitted our estimated quantities of what we'll want for next season into the state's My Deal program, and we'll get some bid pricing back on that in the next couple of months. Yesterday, the Michigan Department of the Health Department of Northwestern Michigan reported that COVID cases had doubled in the past week, seeing 50 cases one day, the highest that they'd seen since October. An increase in the regional positivity rate to 7.1, with the highest rate in our area being in Otsego County. They've seen significant hospitalization increases at Munson in Traverse City and McLaren Hospitals in Petoskey, but they have no such current patients currently at Charlevoix Hospital, which is also part of the Munson family. McLaren reported, and their people that they've had to admit recently, younger patients than what they've been seeing in the past, people in their 40s and 60s. They do stress that there is continued success in getting COVID shots in the arms. Their waiting list, which had been down up to about 30,000 people a few weeks ago, is now down to 5,000 people. On their waiting list as more sites become available and more vaccine is available on a regular basis. In their daily press briefing, the health department stated that as spring approaches and we start to make plans for the warmer weather, Dr. Josh Meyerson, the medical director of our health department, reminds residents of gathering mandates and that we need to maintain preventive safety measures if we want to return to normalcy. He's quoted as saying that now isn't the time to roll back our safety and public health mitigation measures. Getting everyone vaccinated is the most important step towards being able to eventually relax restrictions. Adding that he's cautiously optimistic that if Northern Michigan residents and visitors get vaccinated as soon as they can, mask up, maintain social distancing, wash their hands, we may be able to have a safe, small family, may be able to have safe small family gatherings this spring and summer. So pretty much what I've heard from the health department and their weekly briefing yesterday was similar from what I've been hearing from the CDC and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services over the last couple of weeks, but with more of a spike happening recently, and hopefully it stops where it's at and goes back down. Given this information, the Boyne City Hall will remain closed for the public for the time being to help protect the provision of our services, staff, and the public, as I reported at the commission last week. As more of our employees get their vaccines become fully effective, and as we watch the trends that are happening out there, we'll look to revisit this issue and work towards reopening as quickly as possible. Most services are being maintained during our regular hours, so people should feel free to contact us between 7:30 and 4:30 weekdays. And as been through the case through most of the pandemic, if any individual has a unique need that they feel can't be addressed satisfactorily otherwise, we encourage them to contact us at our main number, which is 582-6597, or visit our website and reach us that way. And so we can see if alternate arrangements can be made. So, in relation to this, our EMS department, in coordination with the our regional health department, will be administering COVID vaccines to homebound individuals in our service area tomorrow and possibly in the future as well. Our ambulance department, I gotta give credit to them, is one of the first in the area to do this. They got a shout out during the health department's public meeting yesterday, I think with one, maybe two other services, but kudos to them. And if anybody knows somebody that would like a vaccine but can't get in to get it vaccinated, feel free to call City Hall at the number I just mentioned, and we'll try and make the connections for you to get that arranged either now or at a possible future visit. Nominating petitions for the upcoming city commission election in November are now available through the city clerk treasurer's office. We have three seats that will be up for election. Those seats are currently held by Commissioners Grunch, Solomon, and Page. Petitions must contain the valid signatures of between 20 and 40 qualified city electors, and nominating petitions must be completed and returned and received by the city clerk treasurer by 4 p.m. on Tuesday, April 24th. Depending on the number of petitions received and verified, a primary election may be necessary. If anybody has any questions on this, they're free to contact our city clerk, city treasurer, Caroline Kennedy, for more information. She's available either by phone or through email. Next week on March 31st, the current extension for electronic public meetings, except when a member of the public body is absent due to military duty, a health condition, or statewide or local emergency or state of disaster, expires. Through April 14th, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services has an emergency order in place that limits our indoor public meetings to 25 people. We have been having, and let me see what we're at today. Right now I'm showing 37 people are in on our meeting right now. So if we don't have an electronic meeting alternative, somehow we're kind of stuck between two dilemmas there. If all those people that are on with us today, which has been one of the bright spots of this electronic technology, is more people have been able to participate with us, we'd have a conflict. And we're trying to get clarification on how that can be addressed. There have been efforts in the legislature to extend this period of the ability to use electronic meetings into the future for another couple months or something like that nature, but that legislation appears to be stalled in the state house at this time. So we're reviewing the requirements, checking with the attorneys and seeing what other communities are doing as well too, and how we want to conduct our meetings after March 31st. Depending on what I find, I may be recommending to the city commission that we do hold a special meeting to discuss this topic before the March 31st termination of this process. I do have sample emergency orders from other communities that have gone forward with this to continue that option during the pandemic going forward until things really get back to normal. My understanding is Charlevoix County may be discussing declaring an emergency at their meeting tomorrow, which is similar to what happened at the end of last year, where they actually did declare an emergency to get us through January, But then ultimately the legislature did approve the extension that we're currently operating under. So there's a lot of moving pieces in place, and we'll keep an eye on that, keep the commission up to date, and if necessary, schedule an additional meeting on that. At our next regular city commission meeting on April 13th, which is one day before the current health department order limiting people in an in-person meeting expires, we'll be having our budget public hearing, and that's at 7 p.m. And that's our regular meeting where we have a public hearing on the budget and the city commission can consider its adoption. Our fiscal year starts on May 1st. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions concerning the city manager's report?
Mayor, I'd like to bring up a couple things, if that's all right.
Please.
Mike, you know, you reported that City Hall is closed, and it is, of course, if individual calls by special arrangement, you can work something out so they can get their business done, if not through the phone. And I'm wondering, since it's obvious that four of you are in the building today, whether instead of being really closed, that there's something more of a hybrid going on now, where there are staff members that are coming in and out, some working at home and kind of working out in a way to get business done. And while
you muted, Dean.
Is that better?
Yes, you stopped at while.
Now I got to remember what I said after while. you're saying that it's individuals can make special arrangements to visit. Isn't that similar to saying, well, we're open by appointment as other communities are doing? So I'm wondering if we sort of have a semantic thing going on where in fact that there is activity by the office staff going on, people coming in and out according to their comfort level of vaccination and the work that needs to be done, working at home when they can or in some combination, and that we sort of have an appointment system for those who are having a hard time conducting their business by phone. I wonder if you could comment on that. That's my first point. The second point is regarding the meetings. That actually worries me a little bit more because I'm really, if we do have meetings together, I don't worry about us as commissioners for commission meetings. I worry about what we're going to say to the 26th person who wants to come in. And that, and if we're having live meetings for a larger meeting, like we've been fortunate to have here, I don't want to be in a position where we're disenfranchising somebody or get an awkward position where, because of the need to limit number of people, conflicts with our desire to have more people involved. So I wonder if you can comment on both of those.
Sure. To your first point, I think that's a fair assessment or characterization. Although City Hall has been closed to the public at times throughout this pandemic, again, most recently starting again back in November when the most recent spike occurred, we've regularly and almost always during business days had people here. There's some jobs that the computer systems just don't allow people to work at home. Sometimes that's been one person, sometimes it's two. On a day like today where people need internet or something like that, it's not convenient to work both at home or here. We have more people in. So the work's still being done. And as I've mentioned on multiple occasions, I really don't think we've been missing a beat all the way through it. So, and that's my primary concern is making sure that the critical work is done for all the citizens of Boyne City while protecting the public and our staff here. Secondly, with regards to that is the conundrum that we're currently faced right now with regards to we want to encourage people to come in and participate like they can today and through our Zoom meetings. We certainly, when it's safe to do so, we want to be able to meet in person, but there's requirements with regards to distance and spacing and all that type of stuff. Fortunately, we have some meeting rooms where we can, space out and, have people 6 feet apart or whatever the current requirements are at that time. And the conundrum that we're in right now is we have the Open Meeting Act, which is going to restrict our ability to use Zoom meetings going forward. And the health department orders that conflict with each other and are basically saying, yeah, you can have an in-person meetings, but you can't have a Zoom meeting. But, oh, yeah, your Zoom in-person meeting can only be 25 people. So we're trying to figure out how to navigate that. And depending on what goes forward, it may involve moving some meeting dates to work with the regulations that are on there. You know, frequently during this process, and it may happen just a couple days before April 14th, we'll find out if the health department extends or comes up with new rules requirements for us. So we'll have to adjust to those as well too. So it's a dilemma we're trying to figure out our way through, and that's why we're checking with our attorneys and other communities to see what they're doing and see if any of that makes sense for us.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. The only other thing I mentioned was about, it sounds to me like if an individual needed to accomplish business, you can figure out a way for that to happen. That, you can make an arrangement for them. If it needs to be a face-to-face interaction, you can do that. And that's been the case for a while. Is that true?
We haven't had a case where that hasn't taken place yet.
Okay, thank you for those clarifications.
Thanks, Dean. Commissioners, any other comments?
Well, I do. This is Hugh. I just don't agree with Mike's conclusion. And as I said at our last meeting, I think we should have the staff return to City Hall and have it open as an appointment only, as almost every city has done in Northern Michigan.
Thank you, Hugh. Any other comments? Okay. Let's move on to item 7, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have in our packet the February 2021 financial statement. Commissioners, any questions for Caroline? Okay. Moving on, we do not have any old business. Moving on to item 9A1 under new business is the Jervis B. Webb purchase agreement. Mike?
Hang on a sec. Oh, I'm good, aren't I? Okay, you can hear me. Yes, you have in your agenda packet my recommendation with regards to the sale of property to Jervis B. Webb. We purchased about 40 acres of property in Boyne Valley Township as we knew they were running out of space in our business park for future expansions, especially for large businesses. After we had acquired that property in 2018, we were approached by Jervis Webb with regards to the possibility that they were looking for a new site to relocate in Northern Michigan. We showed them the properties that were available and they were quickly attracted to a portion of the property that we'd purchased in 2019. And Patrick, if you can put the map up, please. Yes, and it's shown in red here. Basically what we purchased was a square, and this is the bottom half triangle of the square. Thank you, Patrick. He's outlining the whole property that we bought. That's about 40 acres. They're looking to buy about half of that, the south portion of the property. We agreed on a price of $332,641. They're purchasing the property as is, and we'll make the improvements on the site that are necessary for them to house their new 210,000 square foot facility, which was recently approved by our Planning Commission. And which we will be talking about a little bit further with the 425 and the rezoning issues a little later on in the agenda. So this has gone before the group that oversees the business park, which is jointly our EDC and our LDFA, who worked out the arrangements to purchase this property and also with regards to the selling price for this portion of the property to Jervis Webb. Our attorney, Jim Murray, and their attorney from Jervis Webb Daifuku have worked out the purchase agreement that's before you today. They both signed off on it are comfortable with the results and recommending that it be approved here. So we're looking forward to the commission and recommending that the city commission approve this transaction and then continue to move forward with the other steps to bring this important piece of economic development to Boyne City and the region. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have on this.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have anybody from Jervis Webb here that would like to speak on this?
Jeff Howery, the plant manager, indicated that he might be here. I haven't noticed him on the list to see if he actually is here or if he wants to say anything on it. Patrick, Barb, do you happen to see Jeff there?
Yes, he is here.
Do you want to unmute him and see if he has anything he'd like to say?
Yeah, this is Jeff, the plant manager from Jervis Webb. I am here listening in, can answer questions. Our company president, Tim Hund, is also on. He's listed under T. Hund. He may have some words to say at this point.
Barb, if you could.
Yeah, we appreciate that and would welcome his comments. Absolutely.
Hello, am I unmuted?
You're good, Tim.
You're good.
Okay, my name is Tim Hund. I'm the president of Daifuku Jervis Webb Company. Long-standing supplier or a employer in the area, as you well know, across the street from this property, roughly kitty corner. We are looking to combine both our Harbor and Boyne plants into this state-of-the-art, beautiful manufacturing facility that we plan on building here. And we are all about corporate social responsibility and we want to contribute to the community, and we do think that this eventually could result in possibly 80 to 100 new jobs for the area and the local community. We very much would like to see this transaction go through so that we can build a beautiful state-of-the-art manufacturing plant for the city and the county.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else from your staff or that would like to speak?
No, I don't think so. I think that that would be our, I'd be willing to take any questions anybody has, but I think we're good.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to now open it up to public comment. And please state your name and address in 5 minutes, please.
I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to board deliberation. Ron, you want to start?
Well, I support the project as presented and very thankful to see this many new jobs come into Boyne City, and the business park is a true picture of success. There's over 1,000 family supporting jobs in our business park and growing, and it's a go-to place for getting things done. And we thank you, the company, Daifuku and Jervis Webb, for selecting Boyne City. And thank you for everybody that's worked to make this possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Dean?
Echo Ron's comments. This is a great addition to our community. You know, interesting though, this has been certainly a complicated process from beginning to end that we pulled off in the middle of a pandemic, you know, with all the restrictions that we just talked about. So it is an accomplishment for us. I only had one kind of minor question. It has to do with the deed restrictions in the Air Industrial Park. There's some that spoke to stormwater. Since the time that these restrictions were first recorded, we of course passed a stormwater ordinance, which may or may not change or may not affect any of the requirements here. I would imagine that this development would be subject not only to this, but also the stormwater ordinance. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. Great project and looking forward to it moving ahead.
Thank you, Dean. Sally?
Well, I would echo both Dee and Ron's comments and to say that it's really well done that everyone worked through all the processes that had to be worked through and in the pandemic, and that this is happening. I think it's very exciting for the city.
Thank you, Sally. You?
Yeah, I have a question for Tim. Tim, could you just explain exactly what you'll be doing there? People are familiar with Jervis Webb and Tofuku, but exactly what will be going on in the plant? What will you be doing?
Sure, no problem. Our company is we engineer, design, fabricate, install conveyor solutions for all kinds of industries, including airlines, automotive, industrial accounts, logistic accounts, etc. This particular plant is our fabrication facility. So we basically take raw steel from mostly plate steel. We burn it, bend it, form it, and weld it into a conveyor component, many different types of conveyor components, paint it, assemble it, and ship it out the door to our job sites. And we provide conveying solutions for all kinds of activities. We also have a segment of our business that's known as automated guided vehicles. We call kind of the cool stuff, which is we make very, very sophisticated automated vehicles that transport material around without a human being interaction, and kind of robotic in nature, very state of the art. So there'll be many technical jobs as well as welding type jobs, as well as bending or burning or punching and drilling, and then wiring and very technical work like checkout people and those kind of things. So in essence, we're a manufacturing facility that produces very state-of-the-art conveying equipment.
Does that equipment go worldwide?
It does. We mostly are shipping to North America, which could be Mexico, US, and Canada. But our parent company is out of Japan, and it's the largest material handling company in the world. And we have facilities all over the world, in China and Taiwan and obviously Japan, Korea, Malaysia, just all over the world. But primarily, this will be shipping to North America.
Do you have any plans for your existing site?
Yes, we want to sell it. We have had some interest of people who know that we're doing this that are interested in buying it already. That plant is very old, but I can tell you honestly, we've taken very good care of it. It's actually very clean inside and all up to code and everything. So we own the property and we own the plant, and we would like to sell it and hopefully somebody can use it. And we do know of some interest in it already, so that hopefully our goal would be not to see it just be abandoned. We would like, in our financial plan, we're hoping to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
One last thing I'd like to mention, this, the construction firm that we've hired and the architects are all local to Northern Michigan. Actually, you know, one of them, C2AE, I know you guys use them. Integrity Construction won the bid. It was competitively bid with downstate construction firms, and Integrity won, and they're in Northern Michigan. So almost all the work is being done up in your region, which we're very proud of. And so far their performance has been very good on the job.
What's your schedule for having it completed?
If we can get through the process, if I can have you guys expedite this process, because we are on a tight deadline, we would love to break ground April 1st. However, it doesn't look like we'll be able to close on this deal to the end of April on the land. So we're looking for creative solutions, how we can get going, because our deadline would be, we would like to move in on around the spring or summer of 2022. And to do that, I really need to start around the first week of April. There's a lot of prep we have to do to that land, clearing buildings, removing trees, et cetera, to prep it for the groundwork. So I appreciate anything we can do to expedite the process.
Jim, I'd be glad to work with you on any of those points, and then we can get something worked out conceptually and then let the attorneys, if necessary, fine tune it.
Yep, understand. Thank you.
Mike, I had one question for you. It was under item 6 in the purchase agreement, I think, and it talks about construct an entry-exit drive to the property off of Lexmar Drive. Does the city commission give that approval, or is it a planning commission, or?
Well, currently, Hugh, there is you can see on this drawing, this driveway that goes through that bisects the property there. And there is, when we bought the properties, there were existing easements along the south and east side to replace that driveway with, to serve the properties that are to the north of the site. So that's already been provided for.
Okay, thanks. That's all I had. And I really appreciate you making this investment in the community. It's a great thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hugh. Yeah, I'm in total agreement with my fellow commissioners. What a great project for Boyne City in the future. So with that being said, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the proposed purchase agreement with Jervis B. Webb Daifuku in the amount of $332,641 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents on behalf of the city, subject to any minor revisions that the city attorney deems necessary and approves.
I'll second.
Second by Sally. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Hammer. Jessica, could you repeat that?
Need Hammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Yeah, you're a little muffled on that, Jessica.
Okay, moving on to the next item, 9A2, which is the 425 agreement consideration, which it kind of all bundles together. So we're kind of going through the whole bundle. Mike?
Yeah, as was kind of implied a couple minutes ago, there's lots of moving pieces to this puzzle. Three of those pieces are before you today. This is the second of them. This one is a 425 agreement. And Patrick, can you go back to that map for me for a sec, please? Yep, thank you, that's good. Again, the property that we're talking about now, and Patrick, if you can outline it, is the full square and not just the triangle. So starting at that yellow line at the top, going down there along the east, south, and then along the west, that's the approximately 40 acres that we purchased. And there were a couple transactions involved in that purchase. Thank you, Patrick. That property is in Boyne Valley Township. And on that red line that goes north and south or up and down on the kind of the middle left of your drawing, that's where our existing business park ends to that side. And then basically all that purple property around it to that side and above there. Is phase two of the business park. When phase two of the business park was created out of the old mall farm, that property was in Boyne Valley Township. And we executed with them a 425 agreement, which basically allows the city to operate and have that property function as if it was part of the city. So we can then provide our services, whether it's streets or water, sewer, storm sewer, police, fire, EMS, all those services that we provide, We have the legal ability to provide those services there, to collect taxes off those properties and use them to help sustain the community. The same thing is going on with the 40 acres that we bought in 2018. And we've been negotiating for several months with Boyne Valley Township to extend the fort, a new 425 into the property that we purchased so we can extend our water and sewer and help with roads and things of that nature going forward. And also provide for tax sharing between the entities and just a system of governance so that we know that the city will be operating this property during the term of the 425 agreement. That agreement has been successfully negotiated between the parties. It came before the city commission in February 9th at our meeting then. We held a public hearing at that time. There were no objections held. That is the only required public hearing that we need to have. At the same time, or a little bit before us, Boyne Valley Township was going through the same process where you hold the public hearing, then before the commission can act on it, you let a 30-day period go by, which expired for us on March 11th of this month. For people to have some comments on, we received no comments during this period. And then it comes back to the city commission and we chose to bring it back at our at today's meeting. That's what was announced in February. And the city commission can now act on it if they choose. Again, this is a critical component with regards to the extension utilities and planning services and all the things that are necessary that we've been working with the township and Jervis Webb Daifuku to get the pieces in place. So I talked to Supervisor Sue Hobbs this morning just to verify where the township is in their position on this. They have executed they've approved the execution of the agreement. They're ready for signature whenever we are, and the attorneys say, yeah, all the I's are dotted and their T's are crossed. Again, this is a continuation of the process. We started in February, and we're looking to hopefully, with the City Commission's blessing, wrap it up today so we can get the 425 agreement and check off another one of those items on the checklist of things that we need to do to get this project underway.
Thank you, Mike. Tim, do you have any desire to speak again on behalf of Jervis Webb? Let's move on to.
I just unmuted Tim. I'm not sure if he has anything
to add. Okay. Tim, you're welcome to any comments if you so choose.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I will just echo what Mike said. This 425 agreement is extremely critical to our operation because it allows us to get the services from the city of Boyne. So obviously electrical, water, sewer, sanitary, and stormwater, et cetera. So I strongly encourage you guys to approve it. There was a lot of back and forth negotiation and it was a difficult road, but we're right near the goal line now, and I just need, we need this approved so that we can have a seamless transition to start our construction. And thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you, appreciate it. Open it up to public comment. Okay, let's go to board deliberation. Dean, you wanna start, please?
I support this. You know, as Tim said, it took us a while to get here. As we've talked about before as a commission, I think there's an opportunity to build upon this and open up a broader discussion along this corridor, the M75 corridor between Boyne Falls and Boyne City. It's obviously our growth corridor. It'd be good to have a broader vision for this so, you know, we can at least make short of the process of negotiating intergovernmental agreements and that they would be based on a vision that we all share.
Thank you, Dean. Sally?
I support it 100%. I think it's great.
Hugh?
Yeah, I fully support this, but Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure you asked for public comment.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
That was the first thing he did.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Hugh. I did not receive any, Hugh. There were no hands up.
Okay. Yeah, I fully support this. And again, I appreciate the investment and I look forward to it being a real vital part of our community and area.
Thanks, Ron.
I'm in full support.
I am in full support also and would entertain a motion.
I would move the City Commission approve the proposed 425 agreement with Boyne Valley Township as presented and authorize the city manager and or the city clerk treasurer to execute the file and file the necessary documents in order to implement it.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Brunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Very good. Moving on to item 9B, which is the same property, but it has to do with zoning. Mike?
Actually, I think this would be best handled by our planning director, Scott McPherson.
Sure.
Thank you, Mayor.
You bet, Scott.
Yeah, as we mentioned, this is one of the next items that need to be checked off the list of processes as we move forward with this project. With those properties being transferred into the jurisdiction of the City Commission needs to designate a zoning district for those parcels. The designation is a planned industrial district, and that would be consistent with the adjacent business park zoning district and what it is currently zoned. I do believe the township took some actions earlier to zone these as their industrial district, so it's consistent with their vision and our plans. So with that, we moved with the public hearing at the Planning Commission at their last meeting. The Planning Commission unanimously recommended that the zoning districts be changed or designated as the planned industrial district and reviewed the items on section 2.5C and developed a checklist for your review and consideration as you move forward with this process. At this point, this first reading, the commission can review and if desired, schedule a second reading, which can happen no earlier than 1 month after the first reading. And the first available agenda for the city commission would be April 27th to hear this. Just a note that that is scheduled as a noon meeting. So if the commission desires to have this as a night meeting, you may want to consider rescheduling that time of that meeting. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Scott. Again, would Tim, would you like to respond from Jervis Webb?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Once again, as Scott said, one more box to check off. Obviously, we need this zoning approved. And please expeditiously approve this. And that second reading on April 27th is what I believe is the last hurdle before we can close on the property. And that's where I was talking to Mike to see if there's anything we can do to start working on the land prior to the closing date. We'll work that out with Mike, but definitely I don't want to see that date pushed if possible. And so I'd appreciate getting this moving quickly as we've all done our diligence in the background. And lastly, because I have to leave to go to another meeting. Unfortunately, I just want to thank everyone for their cooperation and, we will definitely have a celebratory grand opening with we would love to have the city and the mayor, and we could do a nice ribbon cutting ceremony at the new facility when we get to that point about a year and a half from now.
That would be our honor to welcome you to Boyne City on opening day. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Let's go to citizens' comments. Anyone? Let's go to board deliberation. Sally?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Hugh?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Ron?
Good.
Dean?
I'm good. And Scott, as you probably know, I really appreciate the ordinance checklist that you did. The findings of fact, it was very informative. And I think that's a model for other rezoning requests. It looked great. So thanks.
And I'm in full support also. And looking for a motion, please.
I would move the City Commission direct staff to schedule second reading of the proposed zoning map amendment for the City Commission agenda on or after, I would prefer on April 27th, 2021. And we should reschedule the meeting to 7 p.m.
I would second that.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Brunch.
Aye.
Meehammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Very good. Moving on to item 9C, award of contract for janitorial services to the Happy Northerner. Turn us over to Tim. Staff report.
Thank you, Mayor. The janitorial services for the city under this contract include the city hall, except for the police department, the airport, the public works department building, and 10 different parks restrooms. Those restrooms have a total of 24 men's and women's restrooms spread amongst them. So fairly broad scope of work under the contract and very seasonal in nature. The current contract expires at the end of April. The value of that contract, when you add up the charges for each one of those different facilities over the year, total a little bit over $104,000. In January, we sent out an invitation to bid package for a new three-year contract. We received 5 bids before the February deadline. And those bids were furnished by a number of local companies, Harbor Shores Cleaning, The Happy Northerner, Avalon Janitorial, Chano and Sons, and Northern Advanced Cleaning from Mancelona. They are the current contractor. Following the receipt of the bids, I had to get some clarification on pricing from 3 of the 5 vendors before we could finalize what we call the bid tabulation, which is that page you just saw a minute ago. And we sent that bid tabulation out to all the bidders so that they could just confirm that the way I was reading the bids was reflective of how they intended the bids to reflect the service they were going to provide. After we had that information together, I met with Mike and we discussed the bid proposals that we received and decided to do a more thorough dive, if you will, into the references and insurance documents provided by the low and the second low bidder. So the low was Northern Advanced Cleaning for year one cost of $100,360. And the second low was the Happy Northerner at $109,556. So kind of looking at what we're currently paying at a little over $104,000. One was about $4,000 above that, and one was about $4,000 below that current cost. The factors that go into the detailed evaluation per the bid documents are not only the price, after all, these are bids, but also the references provided by the companies that furnished bids, the quality of the work, whether that's current in the case of the existing contractor or proposed, and past experience of the contractors, and the insurance certificates that were provided were also reviewed to make sure that they complied with the bid documents. And then we look at other background information and have discussions with those bidders prior to making the final recommendation. In the case of the lowest bid, well, of course, they won on price because they were the lowest, but they were not as strong as the second low bid in those other factors that were evaluated. There were a number of meetings between myself and the second low bidder to discuss their approach to the work, resources that they bring, as they are a new company, although they both have, the two owners have some experience with doing janitorial work. You know, I wanted to be comfortable that they were prepared to take on this contract. So the recommendation is to award the contract to the second lowest bidder, who is the Happy Northerner. They're a Boyne City-based business, and their price for year one would be $109,557, as you can see in the spreadsheet. And then built into their proposed pricing structure was a 3% increase in year two and a 3% increase in year three. Because they're new and not kind of proven with us in discussions with Mike, we both felt it would be advantageous to the city to include a performance provision in the contract that says something to the effect that, you know, near the end of year one, we would evaluate their performance and make a truly kind of one-sided decision at that point as to whether or not we continue with year two and likewise between year two and year three. That puts the burden of, you know, providing a high quality of service on the contractor to ensure that they would be able to continue on in years two or three. If that didn't occur for some reason, and that's not my expectation based on my discussions with them, that we would then go back out for bids at that time. So that performance clause would be in the contract. And I've talked to the two owners of the Happy Northerner, and they're fine with that. Quite frankly, they told me they have to succeed, was their quote, because they're leaving other jobs in order to take on this contract. And, you know, they just are going to have to be successful. So they'll do what they need to do to make sure that the standards of Boyne City are being met during the term of the contract. I do know that Leah Thompson, who is one of the owners of the Happy Northerner, is on the call. And if the commission had any questions for her, I'm certain she'd be happy to answer those. Joe Diesenroth is the other owner. I'm not sure if he's on the call with Leah or not, but at least she is available. So I think, you know, that's it in summary, unless the board has any further questions.
Thank you, Tim. So we'd like to hear from, is it Layla?
Or? Leah.
Okay, Leah. Sorry. If you'd like to respond, you're welcome to.
You?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead.
We are just grateful for the opportunity. It'd be a great opportunity for our business. And we are looking forward to being more part of the community. Boyne City is our home, and we want to take part in helping Boyne City look good. And I mean, this year is going to be a busy season. So, and as Tim said, it's important to us to do very well, as it is for the city looking to us.
With the city, we love this town. And so we want to make it to the aspects of ourselves to really bring in people, have people comfortable in the restrooms. They walk in, and they don't feel like they're walking into a restroom. They feel like they're walking into a nice place. We really want to set the expectation for ourselves to hit that goal and have them really comfortable when they come here, because that means more tourists, means more comfortability, which means, you know, people talk better about our town, and there's nothing wrong with our town, but first impressions do matter. So that's the reason why we are excited about this.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the comments. Let's go to public comment. Is there anyone in our audience that would like public commentary?
I'm not seeing any hands raised.
Okay. Let's go to board of deliberation. Hugh, you want to start, please?
Sorry, I was muted there. Tim and Leah, are you comfortable with the provision that the city has put in there about a review after 1 year? You know, considering you may, you know, make an investment in equipment and all that sort of stuff to make your business go?
Yes, I'm confident we will do a good job, and it's totally understandable given that we are new. I'm comfortable with it.
Do you have a background in this kind of work?
I do. I've worked for resorts. My husband has even more of a background, where he's worked for Boyne Mountain for years, and also the state in helping clean the parks and restrooms, and prior experience with the city of Boyne also.
Well, good. I wish you well, and I really appreciate the approach you're taking, that, you know, of all the jobs that we do in the city, you know, this is one of the least celebrated, but probably one of the most important, and it really requires someone to be conscientious and to do all the things that you said, you know, are your goals, and I appreciate that, hearing that. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, you. Ron?
Just thank you for being part of the team that helped Boyne City be proud, and good luck, and thanks for your interest, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dean?
Now, I echo Hugh's comments of the importance of this role in helping our town look good, not only for our residents, for our visitors as well. It's really a critical one, so congratulations. I'm wondering, Tim, from your perspective, there's a difference in price, and I think I heard you say that you believe that, based on all the pieces of evidence, that the difference in the price, a higher price to use Happy Northerner, is worth that investment. Is that accurate?
Yes, and I think, you know, that's true of any kind of service, you know, service-based work, and in this case, you know, based on my discussions with Leah and Joe, that I think they have a good sense of the number of hours and the effort it's going to take to do our work, and their price reflects that.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, Dean. Sally?
Yeah, I welcome you, and I like the idea of the fact that you're local. It makes a difference.
I lost you, Sally.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I like the fact that they are local, and it will make a difference because they have more of a connection to the city than a janitorial service from somewhere else.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm in full support and on Tim's recommendation, and good luck to you. And at this point, I would entertain a motion.
I would move that the City Commission approve a 3-year contract with the Happy Northerner LLC of Boyne City, Michigan, in a base amount not to exceed $109,557 for year one, plus a 3% increase in years two and three. Further, I would recommend the city manager execute the document.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Kaplan.
Aye.
Brunch.
Aye.
Meathammer.
Aye.
Hey.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item D, Marina Project, Waterways Grant Application. Barb?
Thank you, Mayor. This memo is in regards to applying for funds from the state of Michigan DNR Waterways through their grant program. We are currently already a partner with the state of Michigan as a grant and aid facility, which means we've received grant funds from them in the past. This application, the commission actually approved to move forward with last year in 2020 prior to the pandemic. And after that, well, one, we weren't approved, and because of the pandemic and so much uncertainty, we didn't pursue the project at all in 2020 and 21. The project is for renovation and some expansion of our current facility. We have been working for years with a consultant to determine the best route to move forward. It is their recommendation that we move forward with what we're referring to as phase two, which would be, Patrick, if you could bring up the map on the second page of the memo. Thank you. So phase two is referencing section A2 and section B. The gray section that you see just to the south of A2 and B is already built. We built that in 2018, so that was considered phase one. Section B would help alleviate some of the pressure off one of our failing docks where they're showing the purple dock E. That's what they're showing is at the current configuration. You can kind of see the outline of the current dock behind that. The marina is aging. It has lasted way beyond its proposed or recommended lifespan, and it's imperative that we start renovating, fixing what we have. Although we've determined that the cost to try to rebuild dock, what is under docky, the current docks are closest to the boat launch, would be more costly than being able to expand off the newer section, which is showing dock B. And so we've opted to go that route. In 2020, when we looked at this option for phase two, and Hugh, you and I had an earlier conversation and I misspoke about the dollar amount. But to do phase two, which is section B and A2 in 2020, was estimated at about $1.5 million. The grant that we're applying for, if we receive that, would take the project down to just over $1 million. So I have added in a little bit of an increase for 2021 in the total project cost, which I'm proposing at approximately $1.6 million overall cost. And that would include any increases in material, such as steel or possibly the treated lumber, and also some improvements to electrical that supplies docks slips 1 through 10, and it would be the fixed finger piers that run off the off land in front of the lighthouse. Those 5 piers, 10 slips. They currently have power run to them, but the pedestals are a kind of a concrete stone that is only about, I would say, 10 to 12 inches off the ground. And we noticed last summer with the high water, whenever we would get a wind out of the east, the wave action would come up over the sidewalk and it would actually be going up against those pedestals to where we would have to actually unplug the power to all of those boats to keep everybody safe. And so we would like to try to incorporate that into phase two as well, and to upgrade those to regular pedestals that are up several feet off the ground. The grant application is due to the DNR on April 1. DNR staff turns this around pretty quickly. They would look at it in April and take it to the Waterways Commission for approval at their April meeting, and generally can turn around and have a grant agreement in place in late May to early June. By approving staff to move forward with this grant application, it in no way commits us to moving forward with the project, nor does it commit us to any of the bonding for the project, which is a conversation that we would have at a later date once we find out if we were successful in receiving this grant. I think that sums it up. If you have any questions, I would be happy to try to answer those.
Thank you, Barb. We'll go to commissioners for any quick questions, then we'll go to public, and then we'll come back to commissioners. Is there anyone else, Barb, speaking on your behalf and for the staff?
Not unless Mike has some comments.
Okay. There's no one here from the waterways, so to speak, commission.
Nobody from the waterways commission, DNR staff, or our consulting firm.
Okay. Thank you. Any other staff comments? Okay, let's go to public commentary. We'll get back to commissioners when I said we'd go to them, but I think we'll come back to them. Let's go to public comments. Anyone from the public?
I am not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Okay, now we'll go to board deliberation. Ron, you wanna start, please?
Well, I'm good with the grant proposal. It'd be great to see us be able to pull that off and renew this, a lot of the dockage there that's way past its best years. So it's great. I hope we're successful with it.
Thanks, Ron. Dean?
Yeah, Bob, as you said, we've tried this before. And just a review of the bigger picture, we've talked about this for years. And portion of this, of course, would be bonded, about $1 million or so. And am I correct that a couple of years ago, we went through kind of a detailed fiscal analysis to confirm that our math was correct, that we could, in fact, support the bond payments and costs with this project through fees that are charged at the marina. Of course, the general fund backs that up in case that's not the case, but our math was pretty good at that point. Is that correct?
That's correct. We actually worked with a bonding consultant, Andy Campbell, and he worked with the engineering firm. We went through all of the numbers and he was very comfortable with that. And I did reach out to him a few weeks ago as I was starting to revisit this, and he felt that he was still comfortable with those same numbers. In fact, if he said anything, the interest rate have went down some since we spoke last. So while material costs may have went up, interest rates are still down. So we're in good shape.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Sally?
Yes, I'm good with everything that's being done, and it's being very thoroughly done. So I'm fine with it.
Thanks, Sally. Hugh?
Barb, to follow up on Dean's question, our bonding council would be available for us to meet with them before we decide on moving forward for sure, correct?
Absolutely. If once we know whether we're successful with the grant, or even if the commission wishes before we know the results of the grant application. We certainly could bring Andy back in to, you know, review this and make, you know, so you can hear from him how he feels about the numbers, what the interest rates are right now. So that's up to the commission, whether you want to speak with someone in advance of knowing whether we receive the grant, which we could do because it could be a plan A, plan B, you know, what it looks like if we receive the grant, what it looks like if we don't receive the grant, and make a determination, you know, whether we still want to pursue the project or not.
Mm-hmm. And then you have some estimates on C, D, and E, correct? Just to look at the whole picture.
Correct. So the estimates I have were from February of 2020. And we looked at a couple different scenarios. We called them option 1, 2, and 3. Option 1 was what we spoke of today, which includes section A2 and section B. The estimated cost for that in 2020 was $1.5 million. We looked at option 2 to see if that made any more sense. So that included DAC's proposed D and E. So E would be a complete replacement of that dock. It actually changes the configuration of what is there currently. Dock D would be a full replacement, including utility upgrades, and it expands. And if you can see the hash lines underneath, right below the D is where the current dock ends. Between D and C, you can see our current floating wave attenuators. So you can kind of see how much further out that pier would go in the proposed expansion. And in order to protect docks D and E and expand them, those floating wave attenuators that are out there now would have to go, and sections A3 and A4 would have to be built to protect the new investment. So option 2 includes D and E, A3 and A4, and the estimate for that in 2020 was $2.9 million. Option 3 was to do A3, A4, C, D, and E, and the estimate for that was a little over $3.8 million. And in discussions with the engineering firm and the bond consultant, in trying to figure out if the marina could pay that bonds payment through the marina revenue funds, we decided that it made sense to take a smaller section, which is A2 and B, and start there with a second phase and then look at the rest. The problem with like building dock E, it's fairly costly and it doesn't add any additional slips, so there's no possibility of new revenue to pay the bond payment. So we would be counting on any excess or fund balance revenue that we normally would get off that dock. And so that's why that isn't put into the equation to just rebuild what we have right there, right mm-hmm. off the bat. Mm-hmm. As you can see, dock B, if dock E had to go away in its current form, dock B has more than enough capacity to take all of the boats that were docked currently in E, plus have additional slips to rent for that additional revenue, which would help assist pay that bond payment.
Okay, thanks. The only other, well, it's not really a question, but you know, we talk on the water side, but you know, I always have a concern about a larger marina and parking in Veterans Park, you know, just what our plan is gonna be when this eventually does get built out, where we're gonna provide parking. You know, we don't have an answer today, but I hope it's on our radar so we can address that when it becomes a reality. That's all I have. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, you. Yeah, I'm in full support of this step. It's a step to the whole new renovation, but it's affordable. It pays for itself, and it does what we need to do to give us facilities that are in much need. So, okay, looking for a motion.
I'll move to submit a DNR water rates grant application in the amount of $500,000 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Brunch.
Aye.
Hammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item E, the installation of the Stryker's power load system in the ambulance 51A1. Is John with us?
Barbara, Patrick, you may have to unmute John.
I just did.
Thank you. You gonna try to unmute John?
Yes. Question is, can you hear me now?
Yep, yes. You're on, John. You got the floor.
We can't see you though.
Barbara would have to open that up. I can't do it off my phone.
I will do that.
Anyway, I can still talk to you.
Yes.
So what you have presented to you is to add to one of our vehicles, 51 Alpha 1, a Stryker patient load assist. This unit comes out and literally grabs the stretcher and lifts patient and stretcher up and then loads them into the ambulance, which minimizes back injuries on the staff. Today, we load the front of the stretcher in, then the two of us go around back and then we lift it up and collapse the undercarriage and load the patient, which is okay if the patient's about 150 pounds, but our stretchers weigh 175 pounds, and when you put a 350-pound person on there, it becomes taxing at best to safely load them. This unit has been out. We would have had to purchase this had we bought our ambulances a year later. This became standard equipment in all ambulances. We missed them. We purchased our ambulances before the specifications came and included this. It's safer for the patient. Plus it locks the stretcher into the back of the ambulance to where if there would be an accident, the stretcher will stay place and the patient is remains secure on the cot. I also think this is a long-term payback in the fact that currently our trucks are 2015s. And they're about 67,000 miles on them. I would easily feel that these ambulances will easily be usable for another 5 years, at which point in time, whichever came first, 150,000 miles or the 10-year mark, I would consider then re-chassing the vehicle, which means you take the box off the chassis and put the box on a new chassis, and that whole Stryker auto load system would just stay with that box. So it would be a long-term used piece of equipment. We have one of these. If you remember, Boyne Valley had purchased an ambulance in 2017. And so all the staff have become quite comfortable using it because it's on the primary truck in Boyne Valley. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, John. Any other staff members? Or anybody from the public?
Seeing no hands raised at this time.
Okay. Let's go to board deliberation. Dean?
I'm good.
Okay. Sally?
I'm good too.
Hugh?
Yeah, John, this is within the...
Hang on, Hugh. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yep.
This is a budgeted expense that you had planned on doing this year, correct?
Yes, I had put money in capital. We held off only because of the fact of the coronavirus impact, and we didn't know what that would do with our revenue. And so I have waited most of the year to implement this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. I fully support this purchase.
Thanks, you. Ron?
I'm good with the purchase.
Okay. I am too. Looking for a motion.
I would move the City Commission authorize the purchase of a Striker power load system at a price of $28,149 plus installation of $1,600.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Tanner.
Aye.
Page. Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
French.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. I do have one comment that I'd like, if any of you have anyone you know that can't get out to get a vaccine, if you could please contact us and let us know so we can work with the health department and we can come do a site visit.
Johnny, have you checked with Litzenberger if anybody, I know they did have in shots at Litzenberger, but if anybody there might need it or?
As we're calling around to the different facilities as we speak, most of those facilities were gotten by the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes.
We have an individual with his hand raised. I'm not sure if it was raised specifically for this subject, and maybe I missed it, or he wasn't able to get the hand raised during the public comment. I don't know if you want me to unmute him to find out.
I think I'm going to follow Robert's rules, and there will not be any public comment at this point, but Tim, feel free to call City Hall and get hold of John if it has to do with item E with the Strikers load system for the ambulance.
And or vaccination.
And or vaccination, yes. So let's move on to good of the order. Let's see here. Sally?
No, I don't really have anything.
Okay, you?
The only thing I have is I'm just really disappointed that we can't open City Hall, and just the perception that is giving the community, and it just seems like a fight that isn't worth fighting.
Thanks, you. Ron?
I have nothing today.
Okay, Dean?
I just wanted to thank Mike and Caroline, the rest of the team for our long 9-hour budget meeting last week that I needed a little Tylenol to get me through it, but I was successful. And I think that that plus what we did before that for a couple hours really was very helpful in helping us as commissioners, we as commissioners really understand the budget, the proposed funding for next year and capital expenditures, and be able to make a high quality informed decision when we come to budget approval at a meeting in April.
Okay, thank you. I have nothing specifically and would like to make announcements. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for April 13th, 2021 at 7 p.m. Yes, Mike?
Yes, I think I misspoke when I was talking about the nominating petitions for the City Commission, and the actual due date for those is on April 20th. April 20th is the correct date. So I may have misspoken on that.
Okay. Very good. Anything else, Mike?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. It is 1:38 and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Hey.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Brunch.
Aye.
Dave Hammer.
Aye.
Barb, will you end the meeting for all, please?
Thanks, everybody.